In 1960, a phenomenon came to the attention of the world. Man claiming to be 2,000 years old was proven by our foremost medical authorities to be just that. His wisdom has been a great source of inspiration to those of us who have had the privilege to know him. He's back in Los Angeles at this time for his bicentennial checkup. And he has consented to honor us with his revered and distinguished presence, ladies and gentlemen, the 2,013-year-old man. Sir, how...
Thank you.
How are you?
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
I'm all right.
Sir, you are now looking, I must say, not any older than you did 10 years ago. You are now 2013.
Yes.
What has kept you alive?
Will to live.
Ah, yes, that is the will to live. Is
not the will to live. Doctor to live. Doctor Will to live.
Oh,
man that's kept me alive.
William to live. William
to live, a genius. The man's a genius.
One of the great geriatric specialists is a theory that was printed just a while ago that your long life may be attributed to the slowness of your heartbeat and the slowness of your development. Were you a slow developer as a
very
child?
Very slow, very slow.
You were a slow developer.
He's right, because an elephant is slow, lives long.
Yes, right. A turtle, that's right.
Slow, they're long.
So all my things...
As
a youth, you were very slow.
I started everything low and slow.
Yes.
Low and slow. I breastfed for 200 years.
Really?
Yes.
Well, now...
I love that.
No.
I look back at that as the happiest part of my life. I'll tell you the truth.
Now, how could you? Who did you breastfeed with? Who breastfed you?
I used to con a lot of ladies into doing it. They took pity on me.
And it was just breastfeeding.
Oh, it was a thrill, let me tell you.
Now, and what other parts developed slowly? Now, that's
it took me 200 years before I got my public hair.
You mean your chest hair and your genital hair?
My what?
Your hair around your private parts.
We say gentle parts.
Your gentle parts.
That's not called
public hair. It's called pubic hair, sir.
No.
I don't mean to correct
I got
you.
My pubic hair when I was about 15 or 16. I'm talking my public hair.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. The hair on your chest, your arms, your head, the hair the public can see.
I see.
Not that.
I see.
Not private.
And the...
Yes.
Sir, what was your diet like? 2,000 years ago.
2,000 years ago, we only ate what God meant, the organic, the natural.
Like what?
Clouds, stars, rocks. We ate big things.
Yes, well, but they were there was no nutrition in that. There was no nutrition in
yes.
that. Didn't you? You had to
keep
searching.
Many, you don't know. Look, do you know many parts of a pine tree are edible?
Yes,
do you know
I've heard that.
And did you know that pussy willows make a lovely dessert?
No, I didn't. I didn't know. Well, what else did you eat just beside pussy willows? What about live things that?
Oh yes, you could eat insects too, but you
did
know.
Did you eat insects?
Yes, you have to be careful of the red ant, because
yes.
they're hard to kill. So if a few live ones are on your tongue, they'll eat your tongue before you leave them.
I see.
You have to be very fast.
So
red ants
eat
them.
You must be very careful.
Because it's more or less a race with
yes.
them. Who eats who? You know.
Well, now,
they're very quick.
You obviously don't eat red ants and rocks today because you can avail yourself of the foods that exist.
2,013 years old.
Yes.
I have to be very careful.
What does your diet consist of
very
today?
Very strict diet.
Strict diet.
Very strict. Almost nothing. No starches.
Mm.
No starches. No, so we've got starch turns to sugar. Sugar turns to diabetes. Diabetes turns to the grave.
Yeah, I see. Right? So there are starches around.
No starches.
Starches around.
No meats, because meats are fat, and fat is cholesterol.
And fowl.
Cholesterol. And no fowl. Fowl is foul. You don't eat fowl.
No
good for you. No. You know, the chickens eat crap.
So no, there's no starches, no fowl, no meats.
No meats and no fowl.
What about fish?
No fish iodine. Too much iodine, you get a goiter, your eyes will spring out of your head.
I see. So you don't want any fish.
No, sir.
Well, then naturally you live on vegetables.
No, fruits and vegetables are very bad. Very bad. They're very bad. They're roughage and they make tons and tons of gas. And I have to be very careful because if I make a blue, I could blow myself out of this world.
Yes, at your age,
no gas.
Yes,
I'm not allowed to have gas.
Very brittle. I understand that. But so what do
very
you
very little.
So you have nothing to eat, that you've left yourself nothing to eat.
Cool mountain water. 10 degrees below room temperature. Just 10 degrees. And just cool mountain
and
water.
And that's all
just
you eat?
Just that.
That's all you eat all
that
day?
That and a stuffed cabbage. That's all. That's all I eat. That's all I live on.
What? The stuff, is that allowable on your diet? Is the stuffed cabbage allowable?
Who the hell cares if it's allowable? I love it. What am I going to live for, Fog? A little mountain water? You think I'm going to stay alive?
Sir.
Are you crazy?
Did you live before man believed in the Almighty?
Oh, yeah, a few years before we believed.
Well,
did
you believe in anything? Did you believe in any superior being?
Yes, a guy, Phil.
Well, who is Phil? Who is Phil?
Philip, the leader. Philip. The leader of our tribe.
Philip?
Philip.
He was the leader.
Oh,
what
yes.
made him the leader?
Very big, very strong, a big beard and big chest and big arms, and I mean, he could kill you. He could just walk on you and you could die.
You revered him.
And we prayed to him.
You prayed.
Would you like to hear one of our prayers to Philip?
Do you remember these prayers?
Philip. Please don't take our eyes out and don't pinch us and don't hide us all. Amen. That was it.
And Philip did these things for you? And you followed him?
Yeah, right.
How long was his reign?
Not too long, because one day Philip was hit by lightning.
Oh.
And we looked up, we said, there's something bigger than Phil.
Oh, I see, sir. You gave up on Philip.
Yes.
I see, and you started
to pay allegiance to that new God. To the new Lord.
Now, what did you... You didn't call him Lord, then,
no,
did you?
The first name we had for him, I think, was Gevalt.
Yes.
And the lightning,
that
we went already, Gevalt. Wow.
I think that's in all Hebraic meaning,
yes.
Oh, my goodness.
My goodness, yes. The first Gevalt, and then
how did it
was,
come to God, or...
Gevalt, in Gevu, Yehwah. Yahweh.
Yes.
Then Yahweh, then your way, then his way. Then
Jehovah.
God,
Jehovah.
God. Then yes.
Jehovah.
Yes.
And then to Lord.
Then to Lord. Then to Lord. Yes.
You know, sir, this world of ours is full of mystery. And what phenomena intrigues you more than any other in this world?
That's a hard question.
Well,
there's
I
many
don't...
different phenomena I'll tell you one that's very private, if you promise everybody here will keep their mouth shut.
Well, is it something...
I'll say one that a phenomenon that really puzzles you, a mystery that I don't want to talk, but I'll say it anyway.
Go ahead.
All right.
You're among friends.
After I eat asparagus and I make number one, it's such an odor, you know? Such a nutty flavor. I mean, that really puzzles me, why there should be
there must be some...
Why is that?
That's some chemical reaction. There must be some chemical reaction.
It's frightening.
Sir, you know what intrigues me?
Sure.
The origin of words. You knew Shakespeare, you told us, you know he invented words.
Cute, a pussycat with a beard.
How did the word shower come to be?
Oh, shower. Most words came out because of onomatopoetica.
You mean they sound like what they are?
They sound exactly like...
Well, a shower doesn't exactly sound...
Well, listen, you'll go in a shower and you hear...
But that's not shower. That's
well, when they added the hot water. Then you walked in and went out, so shower.
Very good.
Shower.
Okay.
See, that's how we got shower.
Simple. You mean all words you think are onomatopoetically
all
based?
All words basically come from the sound.
Well, how about the word egg? Egg doesn't sound or look like an egg.
Watch a chicken. Look at that chicken. Study a chicken very, 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 very closely.
Yes, I do. I don't see
it. As it produces an egg. And you listen to it, you'll see the chicken goes. Egg!
Oh, that's possible.
An egg comes out. Oh, sure.
Yeah, I think I'm going to trip you up. I think I'm going to trip you up. Why do they call a nose a nose?
What are you going to blow your eyes? Makes sense to me.
All right.
Perfectly sensible.
Sir, what great inventors or discoverers you feel our civilization is most beholden to? People like Pasteur come to my mind, Columbus, Einstein.
Good. He was good.
Who do you feel is one of the great contributors to our civilization as we know it today?
Jewish or anybody?
Anybody.
Anybody. You left out Murray.
Murray?
Murray was a hell of an inventor, one of the big inventors.
What did he invent?
Fire.
Really?
Fire.
Did that come about? How did
he was standing under our tree.
Yes.
And came a big bolt of lightning, set the tree on fire, and set Murray's beard and his clothes and his hair on fire. And he came running into the cave all on fire, and I jumped up. I remember I leapt to my feet, and I said, get your marshmallows on your sticks! Hurry! Hurry! And then we all rushed at Murray, but they were so greedy, we put him out. Too many marshmallows.
Too many
marshmallows. Put out Murray. Yeah.
Well,
it was a terrible experience.
Well, you might have been unhappy, but I think Murray was probably happy.
But that
about
was the first invention.
He
didn't
invent it.
That was a very big invention.
What other inventors beside Murray?
Onan.
What did Onan invent?
Onan discovered himself. Very big invention.
Yes. I see.
I think he was falling, and he grabbed onto himself, and that's how he fell in love. You know?
I see. And he stayed with himself.
And he lived with himself and was in love.
Was he ostracized for being that way?
He was circumcised. I don't know.
No. I mean, was he
ostracized?
Shunned? Was he shunned for that?
Oh, yes, he was shunned, because, you know, in the Bible, it says, they shall not
spill thy seed.
The seed of thy fruit on the ground.
That's,
you know,
right. And also thou shalt be fruitful and multiply.
And he was fruitless and subtracting.
Yes,
you know,
that's
if you
right.
want to look at it.
That's right.
You know,
But actually, what you're saying something is very interesting. Actually, because many guilts have been carried by many people because of Onan. He really was the inventor of masturbation.
What's the matter with you?
What is that?
Teenagers are going to hear this.
Yes, well, the word masturbation
You don't have to say
but
that.
But in today's...
Don't say that word.
Well,
there are other ways to imply. Be oblique. Be supple. Don't say it. Be smart.
Well, you know, that may be one of the... That may be one of the problems.
Can't you be clever?
No, sir. That may be one of the problems that exist in the world today because we use euphemisms instead of saying masturbation.
Talk, get another question.
Okay. What things annoy you about our modern society? Now, many people feel that the thing that's most upsetting to them is that the individual rights, freedoms, are being taken away.
Our rights, our freedoms.
You feel that
more important than that. They're taking away our smell.
Our what?
Our smells. Our own individual smells.
How are they doing
that? They have
that?
A spritz. They have a spray for everything. Under the arms, in the nose, in the crotch. You don't know who the hell you're talking to anymore.
You mean that
they're taken away with all these...
So you don't know the difference
You don't know the difference between men and women, between who's who. Everybody smells like a strawberry. You walk past a fruit stand, you get hot. What the hell is that?
I know, that's true. That's
no way to live.
That is upsetting.
You can't live your life that way.
That is upsetting.
Sure, it's ridiculous.
Yes. Do you avail yourself today of the modern miracle medicines?
I don't take drugs. I don't like drugs.
Don't use any drugs?
I don't use drugs.
So, what do you use instead of drugs, or if you have some illness or disease?
Fruits, the elixir of life.
You mean fruits can cure diseases?
Fruits, there's a fruit for any disease that mankind has had.
That's hard to believe.
Name the disease, I'll give you the fruit.
Really?
Absolutely.
Arterial sclerosis?
Bananas.
Bananas? Wow.
Bananas, because arterial sclerosis is hardening of the artery. You need something soft.
Yes.
Either bananas or a mushy pear. Either one will save you.
How about tuberculosis?
Yeah. Tuberculosis.
TB.
Blueberries.
TB? How? Why?
They stain the tubercular bacteria. You find them, you kill them. Blueberries.
How about diarrhea?
Diarrhea, you got to eat peaches.
Peaches?
Peaches are very good.
Any kind of peaches?
Oh, no. Not Alberta.
No, really?
No.
No.
The cling peaches.
Why? I know why.
They hold you together a little bit.
Sir, what do you consider the greatest medical discovery in the 2,000 years that you've lived to be? Would it be the advent of transplants of organs, the use of antibiotics, the heart-lung machine?
Liquid Prell.
Now, wait a minute.
Liquid
you would
Prell.
Wait, no, you would wait
Not
that
only,
with the
wait,
discovery
girl,
of
let
the
me
heart
explain.
Lung machine. I want an explanation.
Okay, if the heart lung machine is in your medicine cabinet and falls out, it's going to break.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's true. But not the liquid
Prell. No, liquid Prell don't break.
It's in that plastic container.
Right. And what about the psychological aspects?
What psychological
aspects?
Psychological aspects.
Of liquid Prell.
It's a shampoo.
Get out of here. What's the matter with
it's
you?
It's more don't than you, a shampoo.
Don't you see what it's doing?
What
it's bringing families together. A mother of 42 and a daughter of 16 are talking for the first time. Don't you see? Oh, mom, don't use too much. Oh, don't worry, it's concentrated. They talk to each other.
that's the beginning.
The generation, bringing families together.
That's the beginning of a relationship.
Oh,
huh?
Sure, it's
the beginning of
entire families are being held together with liquid Prel. We owe a great debt to it, and it's green. If you put a pearl in it and hold it upside down, it goes very slow.
You obviously like that product.
I love it.
Okay. Sir, living through two centuries, I am just hoping that you have chronicled your life in biographies, autobiographies.
No, I never wrote any of my adventures.
You didn't write any of this down? That's so sad.
It's egotistical.
But after you've lived more than 1,000 years, you should have realized you were very special and should have done some writing.
I did a little writing.
What kind?
A little poetry.
Poetry?
Yeah, a little private poetry.
You are a romantic.
I love poetry.
Could you recite some
of your
poetry?
The shorthand of beauty, poetry.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes, would you recite some of our poetry?
Well, I wrote it many years ago. I don't know if you'd understand it, you know.
Well, could you...
Well, I'll take a shot. You want to hear?
Yes.
Nag, nag, mekelem bibag. Veluch matuch maluch metag.
That's a language I've never heard. It's not Hebrew. It's not Hebrew.
You know Sanskrit?
No, I don't.
You know cuneiform?
No.
It's neither of those.
Oh, well, what is it?
It's a very tough language.
What is it called? Does it have a name, that language?
The sand language. Yes.
Well, we didn't understand it. It had a nice rhythm to
yes.
it. Is there a translation? Is it a romantic
poem?
Yeah,
well, it is in English.
I guess all poems are basically...
I could say it to you in English if you want to. It loses all the beauty.
It's true, though, that most poems...
All the gorgeousness, all the wonder of it is gone.
And the romance of a language.
But I'll say it if you want to hear it in English.
Well, give us the best romantic translation you can.
Beans, beans, the musical fruits. The more you eat, the more you toot.
That's the poem in English.
Did
you write that?
Best work.
All right. Well, I'm in a mood of hearing the old Hebraic chants that the shepherds and the people who sat on the hillsides singing. Do you remember any of those chants?
No, I don't.
Sir, how did you dress back in the old days, 2,000 years ago? We see pictures on walls. The legend has it that the fig leaf was the first wearing apparel.
No.
The fig leaf wasn't.
No,
what did you wear before that?
And no. It was not the first apparel.
No, sir. What was?
The hat.
You mean a man wore a hat on his genitals?
Not on his genitals. He didn't wear a hat on his genitals. He wore a hat on his head, like you're supposed to wear a hat.
But that wouldn't protect your genitals.
No, it's more important to protect the brain. In primitive man, he knew the brain. If God in nature intended that the genitals were more important than the brain, he would have put a skull over the genitals. And we knew that.
That's true.
Now, let's face it. Look, we're all adults. Let's talk plain. What the hell do you care if somebody comes over and fools around with you and your gentles? What the hell do you care? What is it? It's a momentary thing, right?
Yes.
It's there and it's gone, right?
But you don't
want anybody coming over stroking your brains. You don't want that.
No.
Because they'll scramble your brains, you'll write the wrong check out, you'll lose money. Yes. That's important. That stuff is important.
Sir, I read somewhere that you lived in Boston during the American Revolution. Did you know Paul Revere?
An anti-Semite bastard.
Didn't like Paul Revere.
He hated the Jews.
He hated the Jews.
No.
He was a hero. How could you call an anti-Semite?
He was afraid they were moving in. He had fear that they were going to go in the neighborhood and move in.
No.
They're coming. The Yiddish, they're coming.
No.
All night he was yelling.
Were you living in that neighborhood at the time?
I was there. I heard him yelling myself.
He was
myself.
Yelling, the British are coming.
Oh, my God.
And you moved out.
The British are coming. God. I'm going to have to send his wife a note.
You maligned the man.
And I didn't go to his funeral. Oh, my God.
For 200 years.
An era.
You have maligned the man.
Oh, I'm glad we spoke.
I'm glad we spoke about it. I better ask you about some more of these people.
Oh, wait, let me recover. Wait.
Sir, could you tell us about your mother and father?
My mother and father were Jewish.
Yes, but I imagine, yes.
They're typical.
Yes.
They're eternal. The typical and eternal.
Well, this goes back over 2013 years ago.
I'm going to tell you nicely. I'm going to tell you the truth about all the Jewish mothers and fathers.
Is this your
and
mother?
The Jewish in-laws.
You're talking about
mine and all.
Yes.
This is the truth about them. They all are prideful.
Yes.
And spiteful.
Yes.
And they all, for instance, I mean, when I was a kid, when I got married, it was in caves.
You lived in a cave?
Cave.
You were living in a cave.
Yes, and we made dinner. We said, Pop, Ma, come over for dinner. And you know the Jewish mothers and fathers. They came over with a terrible rainstorm. They're standing outside the cave. I said, come in, Pa. No, I'm all right here.
You mean he was standing outside the cave?
I'm fine.
He was standing outside the cave? Outside,
I said, Pa, it's raining. Ma, it's raining on you. No, we all right. We all right. We don't have to come in. We just want to look at you. I mean, they're nuts. So finally,
what brought him into the
cave? We pushed him in. Can we take your coat? Let me take your coat. No, it's all right. I'll keep my coat.
They wouldn't even give you their coat.
Sit down. No, standing is good. Sit down. We made dinner for you. No, we ate. We ate on the dinosaur on the way over.
They wouldn't give you
the... They wouldn't. They don't do nothing.
What was the reason for that? Why did they do that?
Who knows? Jews are nuts.
Sir, you lived, of course, during the time of Christ.
Oh, I knew him. A nice boy.
You knew Jesus?
Oh, he's a nice, lovely, thin, a nice little boy.
Yes. I mean, is he as...
Wore sandals.
He wore sandals.
Wore sandals.
Very much as he's pictured today in the motion pictures that we see of him.
Well, they made a travesty of it.
You mean the Jesus Christ...
They're throwing over the tables and knocking over things.
Well, didn't Jesus behave that way?
No, he was quiet, a quiet lad.
He didn't do that?
No, he came in the store. He never bought anything.
You had a store.
Yes.
Oh, I see. You were a merchant. By the way, did you know any of the apostles? Did you know the 12?
I knew them all, sure.
Did you know the 12
apostles? They came to the store. I knew them well.
Oh,
sure.
You knew them, huh?
Absolutely.
Could you tell us a little about them? Who are they, first of all?
There was Ben, Murray, Al, Richie, Saul, Abe.
No. Wait. That's not the apostles.
That's the William Morris Agency. Wait.
Well, that's the same stuff,
you know.
Sir, is there anything you want to tell us about Jesus that we don't know, that we should know? Because the history and the mystery of Jesus is really one of the most fascinating things in the history of man.
He was a carpenter.
We know that.
Oh, that's all I had left.
Well, everybody knew. Yeah. So there's nothing new you can...
Yeah. No new
I
light. I thought I'd shed that new light, but you all
was
know
Was he a
that.
Good carpenter?
The best.
Did he ever do anything for you?
Yes, he made a cabinet for me.
Really?
Yes.
What kind of a cabinet?
Three drawers and two little drawers at the top.
Yes.
And
how much did he charge you for that?
4 drachmas.
How much is a drachma?
Drachma's about a half a buck today.
Did you know at the time that Jesus was building you this cabinet?
Oh, sure, I paid him. I wrote out the check to Jesus.
Did you know he was going to be the Jesus who would shake the world?
Are you kidding? If I knew it was going to be him, I would have made him a partner in the store. Who knew it was going to be a hit?
Sir, I'm always fascinated when you tell us personal things about the great... historical figures. One who intrigues me, General Custer.
A fag.
Now, wait a moment. No, just a moment.
Man was a fag.
No, we're talking about General Custer. He was a general.
Hey, I was there, Charlie.
Are you saying that the general could be a fag?
He's a fag.
General's a fag?
All generals.
All generals? No, just a moment. That is... Are you trying to... prove a psychiatric point?
I'm saying
a
simple truth. What's so hard
to...
Well,
no, you say not all generals.
Take
maybe one, maybe, but not all generals.
Name the generals, I'll tell
George
you.
George Washington.
Ah, fag, the biggest.
General Eisenhower.
Ah, fag.
General Cornwallis.
Ah, fag.
General Patton.
A big fag.
Now, just how could you explain that, sir? None of these men seem... We haven't any history of them being homosexual.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold up. Hold on, pal. I didn't say homosexual. No.
You said
fag. Don't get me in trouble. I don't want to get...
You said these generals were fags.
Yes, Federal Army generals. I didn't mean anything dirty. No, I don't want to take the time on the record to... I've shortened things.
I see. Well, you almost got us in a lot of trouble.
Yes, you bet. Homosexual.
But do you know any homosexual?
Maybe Custer, but I don't want to go further. You know.
There were...
Could have been. He had long hair and he liked nice horses. Who knows?
Did you know Winston Churchill?
The war would have been over 4 years earlier if it wasn't for Winston Churchill.
He prolonged the war, you say?
Prolonged it 4 years, a good 4 years.
Why? By bad generalship?
No, but bad elocution. Because he said, we must conquer the Nazis.
Yes.
Now, we were fighting and killing Nazis. We all left. We all ran away, and we were looking for Nazis. There was no Nazis.
No.
Four years chasing Nazis.
No. Now, just a moment.
He should have said Nazi. It would have ended the war.
No, but I think very, very few people...
The man didn't talk
Very
good.
Few people were confused by that. I don't think... How many people...
Shipped a few brandies.
Yeah, but how many people were confused by Nazis?
Me and my group. There was 8 of us. 8 of us. We could have helped. We could have pitched in.
Oh, no.
We could have pitched in. It would have ended the war.
You're feeling... about war. I would like to get that. Your feeling about war and the possibility that man will someday outgrow his need for using it to solve his problems.
I hate it.
You hate war. Were you involved in
everyone.
War? Everyone. Every war?
I was in every war.
You were? Well, why
everyone,
would you...
I joined up.
Why would you join...
That flag, that songs. I was a kid. I didn't know better. Over there. You know what the real song should be for war?
Yes, can you sing
Let's go out and lose an eye. Let's lose a foot. Let's go to war and lose our brains.
I see. That
should be the real song.
Yeah, I see.
They make nice songs.
Yes. And over there, get you over there.
And I was wounded and I was hurt. Half of me is plastic, the other half is a tin can. There's nothing left for war.
Oh, yes.
That's a shell of myself.
So there has never been a good war, you
say? One good war, there was.
Which war was that?
An exception.
The war for liberation?
No, none of that bullshit.
The revolution?
No.
The Russian Revolution?
There was one good war.
What war is
that? The War of the Roses was a good war.
The War of the Roses in England?
Yes, it was a just war.
A just war? What made that one a just war?
Well, Wednesday night we went to sleep. Thursday morning we woke up, there wasn't a rose in the country.
Somebody stole the roses?
Came in, they took every rose away.
Oh, I can't believe it.
And, you know, we didn't smell too good. We needed the roses. So Thursday morning, we went to war, we got back every rose. The hell with them.
And that was a just
war.
That
was a just war.
The only war
worth fighting. Yes, sir.
Well, that's...
That war, I'd fight again. Yes, sir. You're going to take my roses, mister. No,
sir. We do know that you have always been a romantic individual. 400 wives will attest to that.
1,000 violins explode in my mind.
Yes.
Yes. Wonderful.
Could you
constant.
Tell us, is this being too personal, could you tell us the most unforgettable romantic interlude in your life?
Oh, well, I don't know if I should say here.
Well, you can.
I don't know.
I think we'd all gain
from private.
It. We'd all gain from it to know what a man of your stature feels as a romantic individual. Who and when what?
Dolly Madison. Yes.
You dallied with Dolly Madison.
Very well put. Yes.
You dallied with Dolly.
Yes.
You mean Madison. James Madison's...
He was busy in the west wing of the Oval House writing the Monroe Doctrine.
Just a moment.
And he never paid attention to it. He was very busy.
Yes, well, just a
She had needs. The woman had needs.
Now, can I clear
you? You have to satisfy the
needs.
I'm
sure she did. But just to keep this historically accurate, which we should do, you're talking about James Madison doing the Monroe Doctrine. I think you mean James Monroe.
Then maybe it was Dolly Monroe. Wait.
Well, I don't think Monroe's wife was named Dolly. I don't know what her name was.
Well, who was the girl who made the ice cream?
That was Dolly Madison.
It was Dolly Madison, because I remember we got hot, we fell right into the ice cream, we didn't know what we were doing, a tub of ice cream. It was Dolly Madison. My tush was cold for 3 days. You don't forget...
I'm a little queasy about this, telling tales about, presidents and presidents' wives.
They're all a little wacky, the presidents.
Yes.
And they're a little power crazy, right?
Yes,
and
right.
They love to do it. Let's face it. They love to. They love it. They love it.
Yes.
And if they don't do it to their wife, they'll do it to the nation, right?
Yes.
You have to watch them.
So it's better, yes.
Yes.
So it's better if they dally with their wives or even on the outside, you're saying.
Let them have a mistress or two. Let them. Let them, because they have to do it.
Sir, you're a virile human being.
I hope
they
are.
You've had many wives. You stated, I believe.
Bet your boots, kid.
You had 400 wives, was it?
400, 500 wives. I can't. Countless wives.
Can you tell us how many of those marriages were happy marriages?
71%. Perfect.
71% perfect?
71%.
And the other
29%? The other one troubled. Squabbles, and
29%.
Scrabbles and fights.
What was it? What was it about those marriages?
Well, I mean, don't eat your soup with a fork, and
the regular troubles.
All of that stuff. And only one really bad thing. One runaway. I had a runaway.
A runaway?
Yes.
One of your wives?
Yes.
Oh, you mean of all those 400, only one wife ran away?
Yeah, Zenobia. She took off on me.
Why?
We lived in Venice.
And?
And a fella came by, Lord Byron.
Oh.
Good-looking guy.
Romantic,
I'm telling you, good-looking. He said, hark, I hear.
Oh, he started reciting poetry. And your wife was there.
Hark the ode, hark, and he hawked it right out of my life. She ran away with
him. What did you...
He's still hawking it.
Do you remember? Do you remember her name? Do you remember the...
Zenobia.
Zenobia. The only Zenobia I know is the company that puts out the pistachio nuts.
Well, they named it after her.
She
was very short and a little greenish and a little nutty.
Now, you've had... How many children have you had? You said you quoted once.
42,000.
42,000 children.
And not one comes to visit me.
Yes, they still haven't visited you.
No.
I don't believe it, sir, because...
21,000 doctors.
21,000 doctors?
21,000 doctors, we turned out.
No kidding.
Yes, sir.
How many accountants?
At least 700.
How many entertainers?
Two.
Who are they? Are they famous? Do we know them?
Boom Boom Crosby.
Bing Crosby?
Boom Boom Crosby.
Oh, way back.
Way back.
Did he sing?
You want to hear how he sang?
Could you
impersonate him? Oh, Brown.
That sounds very much like...
Well, that's where he got it from Boom Boom.
I see. One of your sons was a...
Yes, he was terrific.
That kind of singing.
Oh, sure. He made a dollar. He made a few bucks. He was all right.
Now, you've stayed...
He gave us all his awards. We kept him in the cave. He was good to us.
You said that...
All the Jewish entertainers give their mothers and fathers the awards. They don't keep them in the house.
Moses
gave his tablets.
Gave the tablets
to his mother and father. Yes, sir, over the mantelpiece.
You mean the tablet with the Ten Commandments?
Oh, they're beautiful. And the TV man comes and they show them off.
Yes,
how beautiful.
Yes.
Sure, they're very proud of them.
And it's beautiful.
And they have a $40 frame around them. Beautiful. Gold leaf. Oh, perfect.
So you made the statement that none of your children ever came to visit you. Did you ever visit any of them?
Why didn't
you visit them? I bet you'd be standing outside.
Sometimes I go to them and I
stand outside the door.
Yeah, I don't like to go in. I don't like to go in. I'm all right. I'm comfortable in the rain. I don't have to sit down. I'm fine.
You're just like your father.
We mock the thing we are to be.
Yes. Very, very sage.
Sorry about the word mock, but everything else remember. Yeah. Channel everything else. We mock the thing we ought to be. Yes. We make fun of the old, and then we become them. Look at that man bent over and spitting. And we're bent over and we're spitting.
Yes.
Oh, we shouldn't have laughed, huh?
Yes,
right?
That's right. But we don't know at the time not to laugh.
No, but the kids were stupid.
Sir, do you agree that Al Jolson was the greatest performer that ever walked on a stage?
You know, Jolson was better on the telephone than he was singing.
I don't understand that.
Fantastic telephone caller. I was present when he called Irving Berlin. He was in New York, Irving Berlin was in California. Called him long distance. He needed a song for a new film he was making. The jazz guy or something.
Jazz, yes.
She called New York.
History-making film.
Oh, he called New York. Hello? Hello, New York? I would like to talk to Irving Berlin.
Yes, that's what he sounds.
The other way he sounds. Hello? Hello, did Irving? Irving! Irving, did you do that? Irving!
And then what did he ask for?
He wanted a song from him.
And what did he get from him?
Irving wasn't there. Hello, Irving! Irving! Hey, did Irving? Will you please put on Irving Berlin? I'm calling on this. It was a big call.
Yes, I see.
Paying a lot of money.
I see.
Hello, Irving. Oh, hello, Irving. Jolie. Yeah, this is Jolie. Irving. This is Irving. This is Irving. Irving, I need a new dong. Is this Irving? Hello. Will you please put a... Don't fool around. It's a $40 call. Will you put a... Boy, this is Jolie. Irving. Oh, Irving. He couldn't get him, you know what I mean? He couldn't get him.
All right.
I happen to
Our
like
nation
it.
Now, sir, our nation is in a serious economic situation.
Yes.
We have inflation, the balance of payments,
boy.
The balance of trade,
the
deficits.
Oh, boy.
What would you suggest, knowing what you do about the history of the economy?
Woof! We're in trouble.
The history of the economy of the world.
I'm saying woof.
Yes.
Because we, America's our low ebb now. We're in low ebb.
I know.
The socioeconomic problems that we are faced...
I am asking...
The magnitude of them.
I am asking you for help and a solution. Do you have one?
I have one solution.
Yes.
I say this is the time to sell America. Sell it.
To who? Sell America to who?
I'd say sell it to Japan.
No, I just...
They're going to get it in 10 years anyway. We might as well sell and make a profit.
And that's your solution to our economic problem.
That's my solution.
I don't think it's a valid one, sir.
Well, I didn't major in that in school. The hell are we?
Sir, do you feel...
I feel...
Any hope for the world?
No.
Do you...
As long as the world is turning and spinning, we're going to be dizzy and we're going to make mistakes. If some smart guy can stop it so we're not nauseous, then we'll be able to think and we'll solve the problems of the world. And thank you and good night.
That's it.